Let's start this evening in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Now, as we continue in the series of the names of God, we begin to look at Jehovah and all of the names that are associated with that. Last week, we looked at Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And remember, Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, and there was a ram caught. You get that right in a minute. There was a ram caught in the thicket, and God did provide, and so we looked at that last week. This evening, we're going to look at another Jehovah name, and it's pronounced Jehovah Mekadishkim, which isn't a name that a lot of you really recognize, but it means this: the Lord who sacrifices. Now, this particular name, Jehovah Mekadishkim, is translated 108 times sanctified, 25 times hallow, 10 times dedicate, 7 times holy, prepare 7 times, consecrate 5, appointed once, and purified once. So what does it mean? It means to consecrate, to sanctify, to dedicate, to be holy, to be sanctified, and to be separate. Now here you'll notice in Exodus chapter 31, in verses 12 and 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord," notice, "that doth sanctify you." That is, God took the people of Israel and set them apart for himself. That's what sanctify means, to be set apart. Now let's look at a couple New Testament passages. 1 Peter chapter 1, way toward the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, on the way there like I did, we'll look at a verse in Hebrews as well. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." That carries that same concept that we are to be sanctified and set apart for God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13, just a few pages, to verse 12. And he said, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood," that is, set apart the people with his own blood, "suffered without the gate." And then one last passage. Well, it's not totally last, but last for now. How's that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 23 and 24. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it." Now, God sets us apart as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy unto God, a people of his own. That's what God has done. He cleanses our sin, and then he helps us to mature. Thus, we are to live our lives holy and pleasing to God. Now, let's go back again to 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 13. And I'm going to read a little bit lengthy passage here. "But wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." I don't think that that message is unclear at all. You are to be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now, when we think of keeping ourselves holy, what does that mean? I mean, if you were to think about that yourself, you sat there and you meditate on that. God wants me to keep myself holy. What exactly does that mean? I'm going to look at a couple more passages before I get into the message. But Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 8, and I want you to keep that thought in your mind. There's no question that God wants me to be holy. There's no question that God wants you to be holy, but what does that mean? Leviticus 21:8. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. Chapter 22 and verse 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to the accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. There is not to be any blemish. And if you read all the way down to the end of this chapter, you'll see where God wants holiness. So when we think of keeping ourselves holy, what does that mean? I want you to notice something first of all. It is God who sets us apart. God saves us. God calls us and sets us apart for his own glory. God is working a work in us. But does that mean that I have no responsibility? Well, if God's working a work in me, and God has set me apart for himself, and he has, and God has called me and saved me, and he's done that if you're saved, okay, and he's working a work to make me holy, does that mean that I have no responsibility? Well, the answer is no. It doesn't mean that you have no responsibility. It doesn't mean that when you got saved, somebody took a magical wand and waved it over the top of you, and poof, one day you're just going to be holy. Automatically, you're just going to happen. It doesn't mean that. We are set apart, and we are made holy and redeemed by the blood of the Christ. But I mentioned this, sanctify means set apart. Now that I am saved, I am set apart for God's glory to be holy. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I said, I have some responsibility in this process by which God sanctifies us and sets us apart and then develops within us a holy person set apart for his glory. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So this body, this is not my body. This is God's body. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, this body became him. For ye are bought with a price, that is the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now notice it said in verse 20, therefore, glorify God in your body. You're to do that. You're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body's not mine to do as I like. It is set apart for God. My eyes, they're not my eyes. These are God's eyes. I have to be very careful what I watch, what I look at, what I read. My ears, these aren't my ears. These are God's ears. I'm to be very careful of what I listen to. I'm to be very careful of what I allow to come into my ear gate. My body, this isn't my body. I'm to keep my body covered because I want to be holy. And, you know, it was like 80 degrees out today, going to be cool next week. But it won't be long, and it'll be like 90 degrees outside. And, you know, we just got past winter, and people are already complaining, man, it's hot. Boy, I can't take the heat. It's amazing how we can't take the cold, we can't take the heat, too much sun, too much rain. Can we ever be happy? Anyway, but it won't be long, so let me just remind you of a couple of verses in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. It says this, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, they are to keep themselves," verse 10, "but which cometh the woman professing godliness with good works." They're to keep themselves modest. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 3 again. I know we've looked a lot in references in 1 Peter. But from a practical standpoint, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know what makes a beautiful woman beautiful? A meek and quiet spirit. Now, I don't partake, or I should say, I'm not to partake in sinful activities with my body because it's God's. I don't consume things that I ought not to consume because it's not my body to consume things. It's God's body. We are to glorify God in our bodies. I want you to think about this. I need to watch my mind. I am Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm to renew my mind. I feed it with good things. I don't feed it with the junk of the world. I am also set apart. So I'm set apart from things. But listen, I'm also set apart to things. I'm set apart to the work of the gospel. That's what Paul said. And Peter said the same thing. We are believers, the spiritual body of God. Now, Peter drew his terminology from Deuteronomy chapter 7. We are God's people. Thus, we should live for him and we should love him. We are, Peter said, a royal priesthood. We serve the king by having access to his holy presence, and the priests rule with the king in his kingdom. That's what we do. We are a holy nation, set apart for God, sanctified. Now let me say a couple things about sanctification. There are two aspects of sanctification. There is positional sanctification. My position is I am set apart by God, positionally sanctified. Nothing can change that. Then there's this progressive or practical sanctification, and that's a practical pattern of holy living. Now, you're in 1 Peter. Go back to chapter 1 for a moment. Peter said both, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's positional sanctification. Then he said in verse 16 of the same chapter, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is progressive or practical sanctification. Now, in our positional aspect of being saved, we are separated from the penalty of sin, and we are secure in him. We call it eternal security. I've been set apart by God. Peter worded it like this. I am kept by the power of God. So it is God that saved me, and it is God that keeps me saved. God has set me apart positionally. But in progressive and practical, that aspect of sanctification, God through the Holy Spirit helps us in living more and more and more holy lives. We become practically what we are positionally. I sin less and I serve more, practically speaking. They are progressing in holiness, and that too is a work of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God works in our lives to set us apart and to help us to live more holy lives. Now I want you to notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, I've quoted some of this verse. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But I want you to notice what it says next. that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Practically, that is what we are supposed to become. All of those things. Because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has saved our wretched souls. We are to be a holy person. Then he goes on, he says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. You weren't the people of God, but then you got saved and you became the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but praise God, now have obtained mercy. Once we were not believers. We were not saved. We were not redeemed. But now, after our conversion, we are the people of God. Let me throw this in there. Not everybody is a child of God. You hear people say, everybody's a child of God. Everybody isn't a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God. But you're not a child of God until you've trusted Christ as your Savior. He said, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. What are them? Them that believe on his name. But they're not the son of God until they believe on his name. They're his creation, but they're not a child of God. So God saves us, and we obtained saving mercy. The privilege for us is in the middle of verse 9, that you should show forth the praises of him. It is my privilege, because Jehovah sets me apart for his glory and for his honor. It is my privilege to show forth the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. We should proclaim all that Christ has done for us. We should just proclaim it. Paul wrote this to Timothy, one last passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy. I don't know how many we've looked at, but we've looked at a lot of them in 20 minutes. I can tell you that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But Paul said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That is our privilege. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God has called the redeemed, and he has set the redeemed apart from sin to be a holy people, to use us for his glory. When we think about sanctification, and we know that God sets us apart like that, we are to become practically what God has already made us positionally. Unfortunately, let me say it like this. The New Testament refers to Christians once they've trusted Christ as their Savior. That's the only kind of Christian there is, isn't it? Once they trust Christ as their Savior, once they're saved, we are set apart for the glory of God. We are to live godly lives. We're to be holy, separate, set apart from the things of the world, and set apart to the gospel. Now let me say this. Let us allow God, by submitting to him, to make us what he chooses to make us. Let's do that. Father, you are the God who sanctifies. You have called us and you have set us apart for your own glory and honor. Those that are here on a Wednesday night have responded favorably to the gospel, at least most have anyway. And now, it is your desire to make us a holy people. But we have a little responsibility. We are to be holy. You command us to be such. And I pray that we would submit and yield and be all that you would have us to be for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. That is a great name of God. I have some prayer requests. Wrong. I have some